Okay. Everybody say Jehoshaphat.
Jehoshaphat.
Second Chronicles 20. I'm going to read that here for a second. After this, men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming up against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And they are in Hazaron Tamar," that is in Gedi. In Gedi means stronghold. You remember that that's where David hid. That's the stronghold. They're at the stronghold. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. Jehoshaphat, this king, this righteous king who knew God well and followed him. I wonder, you've heard of ISIS? You've heard of the $19 trillion in debt? You've heard of too much change? We were promised change, and we got too much change. You remember the work that we have to do now to recover what's happened to us. You remember the problem that we, the government of the United States, has put our families in. Remember that as we go on. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord, and Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God of heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" Jehoshaphat, in particular, and his leaders knew and they understood God and his character. They understood his rule, his sovereignty, and they understood the promises that God had for them. Remember that as you go along. The promises. What is your level of confidence right now in the government? What is your level of confidence in your ability to survive the next 10 years? To have a job. To be, to have your family in one unit, in order. What is your confidence in God? Keep that in mind as you go. "Oh, our Lord, will you not execute justice on them? For we are powerless." We are powerless. "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." They admitted their dependency. They submitted to the Lord God. They knew where they stood with the Lord and how much they needed to depend on him. "Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord, and with their little ones, their wives, and their children, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazaziel, the son of Zechariah, and he said, 'Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat.'" He's talking to the king because the king was afraid. "Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the battle is not yours." And then he says this: "Tomorrow, go up against them." Excuse me? I'm confused. You just said the battle is not mine. And then you tell me to go up against them. This sounds inconsistent. A contradiction. An oxymoron. An apparent contradiction term appearing in this conjunction. I'm confused. Whose job is it? Well, it's God's battle. It's his job. We are his obedient servants. "Behold," this is awesome. The Lord says, "Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, cast up east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Stand firm and hold your position. He told them exactly where they were going to come up. And yet they didn't set an ambush on their own. They didn't do anything on their own. God told them what they were going to do and then what they should do. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord. Hang on a second. Nothing has happened yet. Nothing has happened. Only another promise. Only another promise. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." Belief. I have to be frank with you. When it comes to my children and my home, and sometimes even this church as we lead together, sometimes I don't know what to do. I don't know what's coming down the pike. I don't know what the course and the president is going to throw at us next, and what will happen, and how the gates of hell will open up, and yet the gates of heaven will not fold. And when he has taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who did what? Bring up swords, make hammers and other things, bows and arrows? No. Who will sing? What does it take? What does it take to sing in the midst of fear? It takes something that is not naturally in a fallen human being possible. And praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord for his hesed, his beloved love, his steadfast eternal love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the enemies. Not when they look at a sword. We may have to lift. We may have to do things. Jesus told Peter and the disciples, "Pick up two swords." Peter, somebody said, "This is a." We found two, and he said, "That's enough." So there's some kind of defense. There's something that we're going to have to do. We have the Second Amendment, but we don't rely on the Second Amendment. We don't rely on somebody as strong as Ted Cruz, as much as I like him. We rely on God. Because we don't know what he has. And we honestly don't know what the enemy's going to do next. But the Lord knows. They will come up the valley of Ziz. He knows. What is ahead of you? What does tomorrow bring? What will you face together? As a family, as an individual, what will we face as a church? We don't know. The better question is, what is God up to? What is God doing? And the Bereans knew. They looked around and saw what was happening, and they knew the times, and they knew what God was up to, because they knew his character, and they knew his promises, and that's what we need to be about. We know the character of God. We know what's going on around us. We know what God has done in the past. We'll pick up the book. We know what he's going to do. We just don't know when. We don't know how. But we do know what he's about to do. We don't know. How long is his patience going to endure? We don't know. But we know God is up to something. So when will you and I, as a church, begin to thank God for what he's going to do? Because see, remember, your position in salvation is right here and now. It is not someday in the future. It's both here and later. It's both now and later. Saved now, but your body hasn't realized it. You're not there, but you are positionally in Christ. Jesus Christ is the King of glory, and yet he's not on the throne. It's now and later. Israel is in the promise of God now and the realization of it later. And this world will be judged and is judged. We can see the ramification of that right now. What now? I'm going to read three verses. Psalm 50, verse 14. Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Why does it say sacrifice? Because your flesh doesn't want to do it. Because it takes work. Because it's humbling to the King. Psalm 50, 23. Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me. And to the blameless I will show my salvation. And finally, Psalm 69, 30. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. I want to end with this before we sing the last song. I want to end with this prayer. This is a Puritan prayer that's been brought into our modern day English. It's been changed a little bit. The first half, we are praying for the church and each other. This is specifically for others. And the second half is to glorify God and thank him for what he's doing and what he will do. And instead of just one person praying it and leading us and everybody kind of agreeing, I think it would be it's faith when we open our mouths. Have you ever been in a closet or in your bedroom by yourself and opened your mouth and sometimes it just seems, what am I doing? It's a work of faith to open our mouths and pray to the Lord. So please, let's do this together, okay? Ready? On this day of Thanksgiving, may God rest your heart and mind. May he bless and keep you and your family. And may he continue to extend his blessings upon our nation, guiding us one and all by his word. May he grant us patience and perseverance in the unexpected turns and tests of our age. May he impress upon us the spirit of our forefathers, their soul deep craving for the freedom, expressed with courage and wisdom as we meet the particular challenges of our days. We approach you, Heavenly Father, with true thankfulness, not just today, but every day, not only in our triumphs, but also in our trials, by acknowledging our utter dependence on you to supply our wants and needs. For in you we live and move and have our being. We ever rely on you and praise you for your eternal.